You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells. This week's rugby story is that of a gifted player who was a late comer to rugby, but certainly didn't lack ability or physicality. Sets the tone for his side on the pitch and enjoys the social side of rugby off the field. An all-round good guy and a doting dad. A story in which I believe will surprise a few people. Ladies and gents, Mr. Leighton Smith. All right, Leighton, so how's lockdown been for you, mate?
As rubbish as it has been for everybody else, I think, to be honest, mate. Frustrated with being stuck in and not being able to do day-to-day life, but just plod on, to be honest, mate. Yeah. Just crack on with it.
Yeah, that's all you can do, innit, big lad? Yeah, so before we get stuck into your rugby story, mate, where was home and who lived at home with you?
So, where was home? Well, to be fair, when I was younger, I grew up, my dad was in the army. Right. So, for till about the age of eight, we moved around all over the place. I was like born in Germany. We moved there. We were there, lived there twice. But then we've come back to Widnes because my mum was like a Widnes girl.
Yeah.
And then I've pretty much been in Widnes for the rest of my life.
So, how was that moving around then, mate?
To be honest, it builds character. I'll tell you that. It builds character. Yeah. But I hated it. We used to get sick of moving house, getting different cars and stuff like that. But obviously we've been in Widnes for most of my life now, so it's all around. I'm a Widnes lad now. You might not be born here, but I'm a bred
adopted. Yeah. So we'll touch on it later, but obviously, so that tour then, mate, because I don't know a lot about you, unfortunately, and I'll learn about you tonight, hopefully. But that was like a homecoming for you, that Maddie's tour then.
Yeah, it was. We had a good crack. Yeah, going back up. Went to Heidelberg. I was born in Hanover, on a military base in Germany. But obviously, I've got British. I'm a British citizen. I've got a British passport and stuff like that. But yeah, it was good being over there. My dad was all, "I've been here before." I was like, "Oh, I bet you that one." He loved it.
What a legend!
Yeah, he loved it.
So when you finally settled, mate, and you were about eight, was you? So
yeah.
How does the order of the brothers go age-wise?
So age-wise is our Liam. He probably looks the youngest, but he's the oldest. There's a 1 year, 1 month, 1 week between me and him. And then there's our Dominic, who's 5 years younger than me.
Yeah.
So that's it. Easy all this. I'm the middle one, the favourite.
Golden boy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So how was it at home? Did you just get on fine, mate? Was the competitive edge with you? Was you scrapping?
Well, to be fair, when I was younger, Arlene was a big kid. I was a prem baby in that. So growing up, I wasn't the biggest kid growing up. I'm different now. I'm massive now, aren't I? But, especially Ed. But I was pretty small. So to be honest, Arlene used to beat the living hell out of me when we was younger. And stuff like tough, probably toughened me up, to be honest. It wasn't so much a competitive competitiveness between us. We'd fight like brothers and then like stick up for each other like brothers and stuff like that. Sports wise, we enjoyed sports and stuff like that. Liam was never really good, but he always thought he was. And Dominic used to tell you how good he was, to be honest. But competitive wise, unless you were playing FIFA, then there wasn't much competitiveness, to be fair.
Yeah. So, what was the ball of choice for the young mates then? Was it always rugby, mate? Or,
well, to be honest, mate, I didn't start playing rugby till I was under 14s. For a club, I played a bit in school, but when I was younger, when we lived in Germany, played a bit of football, a little bit in junior schools of rugby and stuff. I did a bit of cross country running. Nothing. I didn't have like a set sport that I was really into when I was younger. Nothing really jumped out to me. I just tried and I enjoyed it. I was an all rounder. I was decent at everything, so I'd play everything. Like in school, I played basketball and everything. So
So that'll obviously, for people that know you with your skill set and that, mate, everything sort of helped you out then. Being multi sports, hasn't it?
It did, except for the cross country running, because I'm so slow. I'm running backwards now, but I'd have thought it would have helped, but it definitely didn't. That's probably
the engine for days, though. So, obviously, because you started, did you say you played a bit of rugby at junior school? So, what junior school did you go?
Yeah, so the first bit of rugby I played was I went to All Saints Junior School, up in, is it Off Green? It's classed as. So I went there for a couple of years. That's when I first played rugby. I enjoyed it. But for me, last year in junior school, we moved house and I moved to to Fairfield Juniors. Now, they didn't even play rugby. So I got a bit of a hunger for it playing for school in juniors. Yeah. And then the last year at juniors, Fairfield Juniors don't play rugby. You played football. Right. So I literally didn't do it for that year until then. I got back into, I went to high school and I played it for high school. Like, but my first PE lesson of school, like first day of school, if it was like second day in, it was my PE lesson and I broke my collarbone playing rugby. So it got to a good start. Like,
so how did you transition, mate, from juniors to high school? And
to be honest, mate, there wasn't much difference because I was quite new. I was quite new to it. Yeah. So I was all right. I was enthusiastic, but there wasn't a massive difference because obviously sometimes when you go through the ages, like it can be different, like going from under 15s to then under 18s rugby or under 16s to under 18s rugby. There was a big difference in the way the game was played. But at that level, I was that new and that raw. It didn't really affect me. There was just you played rugby for a bit and you played rugby for school. So yeah. I think it changed a bit more when I actually went and played for a club. Like,
all right, mate. So did Fairfield try and make you play rugby union to play rugby league, or were they not bothered?
Oh, so Fairfield High School, they played rugby. I think we played rugby union. That's all he played, apart from one game where I think it was like we were in year 10. We played one rugby league game against Wade Deacon's year above us, and we stuck 60 on him because we had a great team. Like, but apart from that, our school was rugby, pro rugby union. Everyone played rugby. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Like, I got picked for, I think it was Merseyside and that through the school for playing rugby union and things like that. Like, so I did enjoy it, but obviously. I got one of my friends at the time, he lived around the corner from me, Mark French. He said to me, come and play rugby for West Bank, come down West Bank. Like, so I thought I might as well give it a try. And I went down and never looked back. Then I was stuck with rugby league then.
So, Fernie introduced you to it, did he?
Yeah, it's Fernie. He's now.
So, what position were you playing in union then, mate?
So, in union, I played flanker and hooker, mostly hooker. But when I went into league, I played prop. So straight off, I was playing prop. But then, as I got a bit older, like under 16s, I went back to hooker, and then back to then when I got to like under 18s and stuff like that, I was like second row loose forward. And then I said, I like doing the work. I like getting like stuck in and that. So let me play prop. And if you don't think I'm good at prop, I'll go back to loose forward. Yeah. And then I'll stuck at prop for good then, like, because you can't go hiding from the ball then. Do you know what I mean?
No,
you've
got to
run the ball. And that's what I like. I like the big collisions and stuff like that, and a bit of fire in the belly, like.
Yeah. So was there any like other representative opportunities through school for you, Lett?
So for school, I think I played for, I got picked for Merseyside in rugby union. Yeah. I didn't, up until 16, I went town team trials, never got picked. I think under 16s it turned to service area.
Yeah,
I got picked in the squad, but the coach thought I was a backup hooker. He was like, "You're not a hooker." Even though at that time I was at Warrington as a hooker. The coach said, "I don't think you're a hooker." Now I was supposed to be starting the first game for service area on the bench, but then the starting hooker never turned up, so I played hooker. I scored a full length for the pitch try and got man of the match, like, so I was all right then.
Little fingers up, right?
Yeah, I was buzzing, like, so.
So you'd signed for Warrington before you'd even played any town team stuff?
Yeah, so I was at Warrington before I got picked up. And as I say, it was called service area at that time. That was the first year it ever got made because I had these horrible purple T-shirts. But before that, I never got picked. I don't know whether my face didn't fit or I wasn't good enough, but I thought I was, and my coaches did for my team. But the powers that be didn't think I was.
All right, so if we rewind a little bit, mate, to that first day at West Bank training, how was it? And do you remember who was there?
So I remember. So do you know Steve Macker, Steve McDermott?
Yeah.
His dad, Joe, was a coach. Steve McDermott was there. Mark French's dad was there as well. So at first time I was going down there, I was walking or biking down to West Bank. So where the O'Connor's yard and stuff is now, that's where the pitches and the training ground was.
Right.
So I lived up in Farnworth. So every Tuesday and Thursday, I'd finish school, get dressed, and go down, walk down to training or bike down to training.
Some effort, that, isn't it?
Yeah, to be fair, mate, I used to love it. I used to love it.
So, what do you remember about the session, or do you remember your first game at all?
I don't remember the first session. I remember little bits of the first game, every first game. I loved it, and I never looked back. I remember the first game. So my first game for West Bank was, Ian Hardman. So it was mine and his first game was the same first game together for West Bank. I remember that, like. But it's that long ago. I don't remember any whether I scored or smashed or anything like that.
No, it's the little daft things you'll probably remember, mate, isn't it? This is, but so how long was it you were playing club rugby till Warrington picked it up, and how did that come about, mate? And
So basically, I started at under 14, so I was 13. I got picked up. I went to Warrington at 16. Yeah, I just turned 16. So I got what I think what it was. I got a phone call off a bloke called Gary Chambers. He was quite. He's for the over the past couple few years, he's been involved with the first team. But yeah, he rang and asked me to go down. And then I think me, Robbie Lamb, and Ian Wilkinson all went down and like went there at the same time. They'd already been down there on scholarship, whereas I hadn't been on any scholarship. I'd been. Because at that time, Widnes set a scholarship, an academy up. So I was training with Widnes Academy at the same time while they were about to pick a team. And then obviously Warrington come and said, "Look, do you want to come to us?" So I did. I went there.
Was that an easy decision, mate, or what
Well,
was you laid back about it?
to be fair, the thing with Widnes is there was like 30, 40 people training. There was no guarantees I was going to get picked for Widnes or anything. They never made me an offer or said come play for the academy or anything like that. It was a you go these trial you do go to trials and you might get picked. So with Warrington saying we want you to come down, it was no brainer. And unless someone had offered me something else, then it's a different kettle of fish. I thought I'm going down there. I'm going to be playing academy rugby. Something I wanted to do. It didn't matter who fought at that moment in time.
Yeah, you just want that experience, mate.
Yeah, six just turned 16. You think at that stage in my head, like I didn't really enjoy school. I weren't. I was a one of them learners. If I do something physically, I learn it and pick it up.
Yeah, you
So
don't ever have an writing,
yeah.
mate. Yeah.
So academically, I wasn't the best in school, and I was a bit of a class clown, a bit of a little bugger, as they say. Like so. I thought like I put all my what's the word? All my efforts into playing. Not that I wanted to play rugby like solely, but I put all my efforts into that because I enjoyed it so much. Whereas I didn't really enjoy school or anything.
That's fair enough. And so, are you allowed to keep playing for West Bank while you signed at Warrington,
Yeah.
mate?
So yeah. So well, I end up leaving West Bank before, before I went playing for Warrington anyway because. I fell out with the coach over he kept trying to put other people because at that time I was playing hooker. He, and as I said, he was a service area coach. He didn't want me to play for he didn't want me to play hooker. He's like, "You're not a hooker, I think you're a different position." So he put me on the bench for a couple of games and played a center at hooker. And we got to
Baffles.
which was frustrating. And we got to what's it called? National Cup game. It was like a quarter finals or something. And he put me on the bench, and he wouldn't put me on, and to the point where one of the lads, rest in peace now, Jake Michaels, he got that frustrated. He walked off the pitch and said, "You're not putting Leighton on for no reason. I'm not playing then." And walked off. And I thought that was my time to leave West Bank then. And I left there and just went to Warrington on the academy like.
Without a club, mate,
Yeah,
big decision for a young lad, that though, mate.
I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't going to get picked in the end just because I could have changed positions, but I wasn't given the chance to change positions, so got
Fair enough.
frustrated.
So you're leaving school, mate, and what are your options, and what do you decide to do?
Well, when I left school, I didn't get the best GCSE results because. Like I told you before, I wasn't really the most academic. Like I'm bright. I'm just not. I'm not academic. So I literally I left school. I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. I think at first I started like doing odd like jobs, like working in demolition and stuff for a little bit. But then I went to, after I think I was at Warrant Academy for a year, and then I left there, and I went to a college course. Went on to a college course doing sports, and I thought like I was gonna go down that route, like being involved in like probably teaching or maybe like sports science or something like that. But after doing that for a year, I ended up going to Australia playing rugby for a bit, and that just changed. I left college and it just changed everything I was doing then. So it put a bit of a good spanner in the works at the time.
So how did that come about, mate? And talk us through that process. Who approaches you, and how do you set that sort of thing up?
So when I left Warrington, they asked me to go to Crossfields. It's like, go to Crossfields because we want to keep an eye on you. We want you to do this, that, and the other. So I was like, okay. I went Crossfields training. I enjoyed it. And then the RFL said, you're not allowed to sign for Crossfields, because it's not fair. You've got teams in your own town. Yeah. You go to them, it's like having all the best players go to one club and etc. So they told me I had to go to a team called the Marys, which I'd never even heard of at this time. I was just turning 16, I think it was, to 17, and I was like, I've never heard of any. Like, there's a coach there, a good coach called Steump.
Yeah.
Get in there, go speak to him, and I spoke to him, and he said, look, Lane, come here. If you don't like it, I'll gladly sign your papers and you can go to Crossfields. I've got no issues with that. So I signed for the Marys, played there and absolutely loved it. So I got 3 years under 18s. The first year I played, I missed 3 months because I broke my hand. I was buzzing because I got top try scorer. So I was buzzing like, and then the next year into the pre-season, I got proper stuck in then. And then during that season, the beginning of that season, Steump was involved with Great Britain at the time, under 18s, Bala Great Britain, and they were picking a side to play the Australian Institute of Sport.
Yeah,
and he was assistant coach, and they had a list of players. This is what he said to me. They had a list of players, and they said basically they had a couple of loose forwards. I was playing loose forward at the time, and he said, "Look, I've got a loose forward there. He was an animal. He'd absolutely rip them players apart. He should be picked over these players." So I ended up getting picked for Great Britain, playing for them. And we played the Australian Institute of Sport, and we played the England Academy. We got tonked by both of them, to be fair. Yeah. Nailed us, they did. But
an experience, though, mate.
It was great. Do you know what? I probably didn't appreciate it at the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's something that I love now. I've got like my top in a case and stuff like that.
Oh, class.
But at the time, I probably didn't sink in. And then through that, I went to get a copy of my top from Ravensport. This bloke was like, "Oh, do you fancy going to Australia? There's a team like they're interested." Like, I was like, "I'll go." I'm up for that. I think I was 17 at the time. I couldn't go till I was 18.
Right.
So I think I played a couple more months at the Marys, and then it got to January. I turned 18, and I think I flew in the February.
Oh, so you didn't mess about, like?
No. They weren't messing about. I went, and another lad from who I played at Great Britain with, he went over, Ben Gilbert, I think his name was, I can't remember, it was that long ago. Yeah. Ben Gilbert. And I'd literally spoke to him twice, didn't know him all out, but like we both flew over there with obviously staying there for a year or 2 years and stuff. But it didn't work out. I went there and I fractured my hand, and I had to have metal plates put in my hand, so I had to have an operation while I was out there.
Was this the same hand you'd already broke?
Yeah, same hand. So the first time I'd broke it, I had a pin put through it.
Yeah,
and they took that out. They took that when it was healed. Now the second time I broke it, literally my hand was like a deformity in my hand. So it looked like my knuckle was in the middle of my hand, and it was just where the knuckle had sunk, and the hand had like, you know, healed. Like,
yeah,
obviously it wasn't nice. I've got pictures there, and it looks like I've got a knuckle in the middle of my hand. But yeah, I broke it, and I had to get an operation, and they were like, "You're going to be out for like 6 to 9 months." And I'd been there for 3 months. So I was like, I can't stay and earn no money. I wasn't getting any money for playing anymore because I couldn't play.
Yeah.
And then the job that I had, I couldn't earn off it because I couldn't go into work because I broke my hand. So I came back with the understanding that I was going to go back out the next year, but things didn't work out. I was enjoying life and playing at the Marys and stuff like that. Like, so
yeah.
I ended up staying with the Marys.
So who sorted your flights? Like, did you have to cough up for your flights, or did they help you?
The club paid for everything.
Did they?
Yeah, club paid for everything. Put us up when we first got there. Put us up with one of the chairmen for the club, and he was signed. His name always rings a bell. I mean, Rex Cooper. His name was.
Yeah, it's a different name, isn't it?
Yeah. He kept us like. He was quite old-fashioned, whereas we were two young English lads over there. Like, so we had his car. He let us use his car and stuff. And then I think after a couple of weeks, we moved in with a family who were like a lot younger and a bit more switched on with us because they had kids around about our age, like, which made it a lot better and easier to settle in, to be honest.
Yeah. So where did you go in Australia, mate?
So where I was staying and playing was a place called Kempsey. The team I signed for was called McClay Valley Mustangs. Now, the coach for them was Wayne Bartram. You might remember him from...
Yeah, did he play for Castlefridge?
Yeah. And he's, if you remember them origin fights that everyone used to watch, the Queenslander, he's the one, the hooker at first.
He is.
So, yeah, he was the coach. Like, it was sad. I really enjoyed my time there. Like, it was a great experience. I remember, like, because at the time, just before I'd gone over to Australia, I'd been training with Bobby Golden at Rochdale, and literally it's like 12-hour difference or something. And so it's like 6 in the morning over in Australia and 6 at night there. So every time Bobby would be training at Rochdale, he'd ring me from the office, like, waking the house up. I remember that the Aussies going, who the heck's ringing at this time in the morning? And I got the phone and he went, and I went, oh, sorry, it's my friend Bobby Golden, like, the player. I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, it's okay. He's telling me he's a legend. We love him over here. He's great. I was like, sound. ringing me up, winding him up, and that he was.
Yeah. So, obviously, because I know a little bit about your playing days and I'm getting to know you now, have you always played on the edge with that aggression, or did going over the force you to play like that? No.
I think I've always been a bit like that. I think you've it's
that edge,
like,
yeah.
I think it's I like to win. I don't like to lose. I'm like job proud in anything I do. I want to make sure that anything I do, I'm doing the best of my ability. I'll always try my hardest. Whether I'm good enough, fast enough, fit enough, I'll always give 100%. So that's always been in me. And when like me playing prop, how I seen it was I was the enforcer. Every team I played for, I was the enforcer. I had to lay the foundations for the backs to
set the tone. Yeah.
I had to, if I had young lads on the team, I had to take them under my wing. Don't get me wrong, people might not agree with me, but that's how I seen my role in the team. Yeah. Is I had to be like more like a bit of a leader, and I've done that with every team I've ever played with. I've always thought. Yeah. I'll be the one taking the driving on the 10-yard line when no one wants to take in. That's my job. I want to do that, and I thrived off that, really.
Yeah, because, like, not knowing you until the last couple of years, obviously I knew of you because we're all on the rugby scene and that, but I was probably judging you a little bit, and I shouldn't have been. Like, you expect you to be like you are on a pitch, you know, like around the club and that.
Yeah.
But you ain't.
No,
I'm
a teddy bear, really.
But without being rude, and I'm not meaning to offend you, mate. But
don't offend me, mate.
Yeah, but you know, like, if you don't know you think he's frosty, I'll just nod.
Yeah.
Like, but until you know you can turn it on as soon as that changing room opens.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't you? Yeah, exactly. I think unless you know you don't appreciate that. But you've I think the edge gives you whoever you're playing for. An edge as well. Oh, that's how I found it playing with you. Because if you're not carrying, you're still attracting three or four lads because they know what your hands are capable of.
To be fair, a few people over the years have always said that, like, they feel like more confident that they can go and do what they need to do with me playing in the team. That's the biggest compliment you can ever have, in my opinion. Like, players feel they can play their game and they feel that they can do more because you're in the team than for me that I'm doing my job and everything there. That's more praise than you get. People you play with know and respect you more because they see how you play every week.
The little daft stuff you do. And like I said, no offence to you, mate. And obviously I've got to know you now through Mike, fortunately. But it's like before I knew you, I'd have just judged you off the hour and a half on a Saturday afternoon. And that's not what you like.
I'm a big softy, really. I'm aggressive, I'm aggressive on the field because that's my job. But then when I'm off the field, like, do you know what I mean? I'm at the goat sometimes. And when I was younger, I was a bit of a jack the lad. And I've got myself into trouble and stuff like that when I was younger. But I'm not that person anymore. I've grown up a lot now.
Yeah, you live and learn, mate, don't you? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Everything's like, I've got kids now. I'm getting old and soft.
For all the latest regarding Trot the Egg In, please add John Hetherington on Facebook, at John Heth, H-E-T-H, on Twitter, at Trot the Egg In on Twitter, and trot_the_egg_in on Instagram. You've been listening to Trot the Egg In. Thanks to our sponsors, Bardell Sports. Follow us on Twitter @TrotTheEggIn and Instagram @Trot_the_egg_in.